Welcome back for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Recap Review. I'm your host, Mike Mills, sitting here with Doc Turner today, and we are covering Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 8 from March the 21st, 1992, this time from the Knoxville Civic Coliseum Studio. Now, Doc, first off, how you doing today, man? You hanging in there?
I'm ready to talk some Smoky Mountain Wrestling. I'm just going to go ahead and jump to the end, I'm not going to give out disability checks, but this one right here is my favorite one of the first 8. No, episode 8 is my favorite one, so I'm really excited to talk about this one. And I decided something else. I'm pretty sure I'm the Dutch Mantel to your Bob Caudle. So what's up, Bob?
Okay, if you say so. You have been getting heat, man, spoiling things for our fans, man.
Let me explain this. I watched 200 and something Smoky Mountain episodes in a very compressed window. So my timelines aren't perfectly correct. So when I say somebody don't get attached to somebody, I went back and looked at the person I said don't get attached to, and they end up sticking around exponentially longer than I thought they did because I didn't remember. So I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm trying. What do you want?
You gotta understand. I mean, people don't want to be spoiled. Just because you view it a certain way. I don't want to be spoiled, so I'm telling you to shut the fuck up with the spoilers.
Here's a major spoiler. Everyone in Smoky Mountain stops working for Smoky Mountain at some point because the promotion goes out of business.
Hey, Rodney Esty, we're just joking, man. We're playing, but because it's kind of funny, to be honest with you. But I agree. I don't want the spoilers so much, even though I kind of know what's going to happen just from listening to Cornette over the years. But yeah, man. So we'll try to steer away from the spoilers.
Well, this is a great episode. So let's get going, dude.
Yeah, let's kick things off. So, you know, we our first match of the day on episode number 8 from March 21st, 1992, again, from the Knoxville Civic Coliseum, which, I'm sorry, I was going to go into the first match, but real quick, the Knoxville Civic Coliseum Studio, I am pretty sure this is the same building that you said is the most depressing place on earth. They've just rebranded it, so to say, as the Knoxville Civic Coliseum Studio, and they're presenting it much better on TV with the lights being turned down in the crowd, and I think it looks much better. I'm almost 100% sure, based on as I look at the floor from this place, like you can actually see the floor, and it's the same floor as the previous episodes. I think this is the same place. But it looks so much different. So if I'm wrong, Smoky Mountain, you know, folks from Knoxville who watch this promotion and remember this, please tell me. But I'm almost 100% certain this is the same exact building.
Yeah.
Doc, thoughts on
it? Yeah, they did a good job by turning out the lights on this sumbitch.
We make a joke of it when we say turn out the lights, but it's the presentation of it.
Oh, yeah, because, okay, old
focuses on the ring.
Old school Smoke-filled arena. Lights out in the crowd, lights on the ring. I hate the way they do Raw and all the other current shows where it's ROH does a better job at that. But when we get to the – I will say this. When we start to get to the big shows that they do in the Knoxville Coliseum where they have the big crowds, they do a real good job of that. It's pitch black. You could reach over and get a hand job in the dark. It's so dark in the crowd and the lights
okay.
– what?
Okay, let's go to the ring. All right, first match of the day, we got Robert Gibson against Joe Kazana. We go to the ring after a brief introduction on just you just heard from Dutch and Bob Caudle. We get a lot of rock and roll chants to start the match, and our favorite old lady is back at ringside at her red sweater this time. Dutch starts talking about the lack of strategy people employ usually against Gibson. Dutch then, and here we go, it starts getting gold. Dutch says, you know, if I was wrestling Robert Gibson, I'd walk right up to Gibson and slap him across the chops one time, because once you do that, it's like you have mind control over your opponent. Bob Caudle responds to this with, I heard it's like a mule when you take that mule to get that mule's attention. Dutch responds and says, I have no clue what you're talking about, Bob Caudle. I've never heard of this mule story you're talking about, Bob. Bob chuckles, no-sells it somewhat, gets back to the match. Pretty quick match here, only 4 minutes and 11 seconds. At the end, Kazana goes to the top rope, misses an elbow. A pretty brutal, I don't want to say brutal miss, but he misses the elbow pretty good. Gibson picks him up, shoots him into the ropes, and gives Kazana a backdrop. Gibson Irish whips Kazana into the corner, follows him in, comes out with an old school bulldog that really was executed really well when you think of an old school bulldog. And he gets the win on Kazana in a short, uneventful match, but with a few zingers on the commentary from Dutch and Bob Cottle. So, Doc, what were your thoughts on this very quick opening match of the night?
Well, the big thing I noticed here was the Bulldog gets the win, where today you pretty much have to have an Uzi to get your opponent to stay down for the three count after they kick out of your finisher and their finisher and everybody else's finisher on the card. So the Bulldog gets the win. You know, let's get our parody counts going early here. I'm sure we'll get the Morton and Gibson going, but is it just me or does Gibson kind of look lost as a single wrestler? He looks like he's missing Morton and needs him to kind of, because I like Robert Gibson a lot, I do, but he just seems like he is kind of out fish out of water without his tag team partner.
I don't know if he's lost, because the thing is, keep in mind, both of those guys worked a lot of singles matches by that point in their career. I think what you see is you are just, and me too, are have a trained eye to see him and Ricky together a lot. So, yes, those two are much better as a tag team than they were as singles.
Maybe that's
guys.
It.
Because I do know what you mean. It's really weird when you see Robert Gibson without Ricky Morton and vice versa. And I can just tell you from experience when it was probably my second or third show that I ever worked on the indies, Robert Gibson was there. And I remember thinking to myself, where's Ricky Morton? Like, it just was, and this was 1996, but in my mind I'm going, these two – They're tag team. They're not singles. So I think that might be part of it. And that's not me dumping on Gibson as a singles competitor. I just think, obviously, they're better together. So that's a good point to bring up. We go to the next segment, which is a promo from Bullet Bob Armstrong. He gives us a promo of the teams that will be in the tag team tournament that is starting this week. Bullet Bob Armstrong is still talking about how he needs to still find out who Cornette's team will be, and he's about to get to that. But he does announce then the first round matches, which will be the Maulers versus Johnny and Davey Rich, the Fantastics versus the Wild Bunch. More to come on the Wild Bunch in this episode and the next. The Coloss versus Danny Davis and Joey Maggs. The Batten Twins versus Cornette's tag team that is still not known at this point. Matches, they're supposed to begin on next week's television, although
we can't wait. We got to get that tournament started today.
Right, so he says it's going to begin next week, but just – and this is not a spoiler.
Spoiler alert.
Well, it's not really a spoiler.
Later in this episode, we're going to kick this tournament off. Everybody watch out.
Yeah, it begins on this week, so that's just a point of note there. And, you know, here's the thing. He probably shot that promo, and they just couldn't fit
well,
it in.
Well, he shot all of it because he's still in that damn white shirt he's been in for 3 or 4 weeks. And you know,
the same thing. He probably shot those all back-to-back. But you know what? That was the territories back then. That's how it worked. And he showed up at the studio, and you cut a bunch of promos. So, yeah, the tournament will start later this week. And I'm going to try to keep track of the brackets as we go just to help people out. That way they're not too confused on what's going on.
Do you have any predictions about who's going to win this thing?
I know who's going to win, so it wouldn't be fair for me to say who's going to win. I mean, come on, think about it. So, no, I don't have any predictions on this. Now, if you were to ask me blindly, I'll spoil it if I say that. But let me tell you this. I like this Wild Bunch tag team.
You do?
I like this Wild Bunch. Yeah. So, let's go to that. So, because the next segment is a video package. We go to a video package of the Maulers.
No.
I'm sorry. The Wild Bunch from their time in Japan. I must.
Who are the Wild Bunch?
Well, let me say this, and we'll go there in a second. These dudes are some bruisers, and, you know, I know there's a team called the Maulers, but they are some brawlers and maulers, no pun intended, with these guys. They are beating the shit out of the talent in Japan. They're doing, like, high-risk maneuvers like moonsaults and flying around with this reckless abandon. It reminded me of, like, the cool things of the territories, but they were taking it up a notch. But the thing about them was, remember in the territories, you didn't see somebody, and then you saw a video package of them. That's what this was like for me. You see a video package of a team coming in that you've never seen before, and it kind of gets you excited. And that was the whole premise of the territory, is that, you know, a talent would stay around for a little while, and so that the fuse didn't burn for too long, they would leave and come back. Correct, Doc?
Yeah.
So what did you think about this package?
Well, I really liked it. And the Wild Bunch is Joel Deaton and Billy Black. And I got to be honest, I had never heard of either guy before I started watching Smoky Mountain. And that, you know, that's kind of interesting to me because these guys have talent. And why haven't I heard of them?
Very talented.
Were you aware of either guy here before you saw it?
I know who they were. I just did not know who I didn't. Okay, it's going to sound crazy. I know who Black and Deaton are, but I did not. I had no, again, it'll sound crazy. I don't remember them as this team. Well, I know the names. Let me say that.
And doing some reading on them, I think they worked a lot in Japan, and I think they worked a lot in outlaw promotions. So you didn't see them in the big promotions very often. Deaton looks like he ought to be a long lost Mulligan Wyndham kid.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Black looks like Black Bart's son.
A little.
And these two guys get out there, and they look like they're just going to throw punches, and then they start doing all kinds of shit. I mean, just really interesting. I mean, when you see them, and then you see them start doing the moves that they're doing, it's kind of confusing because it looks like you said, the Brawler and Mauler, and then they start doing moonsaults on fools. But they can also brawl. So,
to me, the thing about them is – it was a different time when, to me, that stuff wasn't high profile. The whole moonsaults and flipping around and acting crazy. And
well, certainly not for a guy of that size either.
No, hell no, not at that size. Maybe luchadors back then, but no, not for them. And they were bringing it. So they're brawlers, but at the same time, they're flying around and killing people. It was good shit-kicking wrestling, and that's the part that I like about it. Because you watch that video package, dude, they're laying it in. They have no shame.
Right.
So I like them as a tag team. You know, I don't know if they stick around, but I hope they do.
I can't
so,
tell
Doc,
you.
Don't spoil it. I know you can't.
I can't tell you.
I can't.
I want to.
Don't. No, no, no.
I want
don't
to.
Do it. So, to recap this, what we liked about this video package is the fact that it's a team coming into the territory that I would venture to say most of the fans there had not seen. And now they can get excited about a new talent coming in and breathing some life into the promotion, even though the promotion is only 2 months old at this point.
One of the big, and that's one of the things that I think is one of my favorite parts of this episode is that we kind of had a established crew that was the roster already, you know, and all of a sudden here's a surprise. Oh, that's pretty
yeah.
cool. I wasn't expecting it to really like a new tag team. That's awesome. I got a surprise,
yep.
And guess what? They can go.
You don't, and honestly, you will never see this on Monday Night Raw or SmackDown.
Everything, you know, that afternoon, so and so's in the building.
Yep.
They're getting the call up from NXT. The day,
yeah, there's no surprise.
The days of Rick Rude showing up on both shows, that's over.
Yeah,
it's
not gonna happen.
I'm not calling the Wild Bunch Rick Rude, but you know what I'm saying.
No, you're just not going to get that surprise because the thing is, if someone is coming in, one, the dirt sheets have gotten a hold of it and you've already seen this person a million times over, or two, the person is coming in from NXT, so they've been called up and you've been anticipating it for a while. Okay, we go to the next match, which is Hector Guerrero against Keith Hart. Another short match. It only lasts about 4 minutes. When they announced Keith Hart, there's a guy in the front row that he just looks mad. I don't know how else to explain it. He looked like he was in the line at Luby's and just got told that they were out of mashed potatoes and he was real salty about it. When they announced Keith Hart, it's the strangest thing. You'll see it when you're watching the episode back. Bob starts the commentary with talking about how Hector is like a bug in the ring, and Dutch starts laying into Bob Cottle before he can even get going about Bob's overuse of the word quick. Dutch questions Bob when he says, are you going to start telling me again how quick these guys are? It's not just quickness that wins a match, Bob Cottle, is what Dutch says. These two, as usual, ignore the match for the most part. They get into talking about how Bullet Bob is on a mission to find out about Cornette's tag team. And then out of the blue, Bob Cottle says, by the way, where's Styles? Dutch says, who? Bob Caudle says, Styles. Dutch says, I really don't want to talk about it. Bob Caudle says, come on, Dutch, where is he? Where's Styles? Dutch says, I don't want to talk about it. It's a long story. Caudle, Dutch, come on, where is he? Dutch, Dutch, do you not understand? I don't want to. No, he says, Bob, do you not understand? I do not want to talk about it. They keep going back and forth, Doc, and I'm going to stop for a second. How long did this exchange take place with those two back and forth about where's Carl Styles, completely ignoring the match? Now, the match is only 4 minutes, but how long does this
almost
take place?
Too long.
It does. Bob Armstrong, Dutch finally does say, Bob Armstrong says, Carl Styles can't come out here anymore, but I'm working on getting to the bottom of it. Are you happy now, Bob Caudle? Back to the match. Hector Guerrero does this move where it's almost like a head scissors takeover, but he crosses his ankles and takes over Keith Hart with his feet around Hart's head and neck. Dutch says, and this is gold, I wish that Hector Guerrero would put his feet in my face like that. I'd rip his leg off and beat him in the head with it. To which Bob Caudle replies and says, Dutch, that would take some doing. Dutch says, it might take some doing for most guys, but not for me. Bob Caudle then continues jabbing Dutch and says, yeah, well, I'll tell you what, if he ever got you in that jalapeno pepper roll, it would be curtains for Dutch Mantel. Curtains. Dutch says, no way, I'd take some Rolaids and get right out of that deal.
That was a great line.
That was so awesome. Back to the match. Hart attempts what I would term as a modified version of what we now call a Chris Jericho lion salt. He misses it when Hector puts up his legs that Hart lands on. Hector then proceeds to get Hart in the jalapeno pepper roll that Dutch Mantel just loves. Doc, your thoughts on this match? Or anything.
Or anything. Well, I think that world hunger should be ended. No, I think, you know, Guerrero is solid, and he's doing stuff that obviously kind of confuses Caudle. And I mean, he's just he's a solid upper, you know, solid mid-card guy in the promotion right now.
Yep. I'm kind of, you know, I don't know what happens, what ends up happening with him with Smoky Mountain, but, you know, that's part of the journey. We go to a promo now. We've got a promo with Primetime Brian Lee, the Fultons, and Tim Horner, who's got a purple shirt on and the most pathetic-looking Zubaz I've ever seen. Primetime Brian Lee addresses his grudge match with Dutch in Oakwood, Virginia, and says he's going to put the lights out on Dutch, 1, 2, 3, when he puts the cancellation on Dutch. And I'm going to stop for a second because what I like about what they're doing here is they're actually televising this before they go to Oakwood, Virginia. You know, and announce it's just a total different take on wrestling then versus now. You know, they're talking about what's going to happen. They're setting this up for that match. I don't even know if it's the main event for that night, but it's just the whole setup of it. It's different. You won't see this on Raw now for the most part. Now you did kind of recently, I know a while back they kind of announced the week before where Charlotte and Sasha were going to, you know, fight for the women's title the next week. But for the most part, if you think about it, they don't really set things up for like house shows or upcoming TVs. And in this instance, they do. Back to it. Jackie Fulton then addresses a match with he and Bobby against Nature Boy Buddy Landell and Jimmy Golden. So we got Landell. Remember Landell, for those who haven't been following, Landell hasn't wrestled yet, but he remember the promo, Doc? Was that like episode 2? That he cut a promo?
It was
a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, he talked about he was coming in. So it's not necessarily a surprise when he drops that name. It's just he's finally going to be coming in. Jackie has his Z Cavaricci's on and his rayon shirt again, and he talks about how he and Bobby are coming and they'll be ready. Then he mentions how they want to shake hands with all the great fans and hug the pretty ladies. That's code word for, as that mullet of Morton says, banging some rats. While they're in Oakwood, Virginia. Hug the pretty ladies, my ass. Bobby Fulton cuts a good promo with emotion and how he and his brother will be taking care of business, coming out barrels loaded and blazing against Landell and Golden. And then we get Tim Horner cutting a promo on the Dirty White Boy, saying that the Dirty White Boy has been running roughshod over the competition. And then Horner says, I'm going to TCB, take care of business. Slightly better than his previous promos, but dear God, watching Tim Horner cut a promo is like watching paint dry on a wall.
I put on here that he's like watching a hillbilly on codeine cough syrup.
That too.
You know,
TCB.
God. You know, my note here was these four are out there. The only one of the four that should be near a mic is Bobby Fulton. The other guy should just stand there and watch.
I think you're being hard on primetime Brian Lee.
Okay.
You don't agree?
I don't.
Okay.
Primetime Brian Lee has a purpose, but giving promos is not it.
So what about Jackie in this?
He's a weird looking dude.
That's the best thing you got. He's a weird looking. I think you're a weird looking dude.
Mm-hmm. So
I will. The only thing, again, keep Tim Horner away from the mic. You know, it's funny because we had one of our listeners, Armando Martinez. He made a comment a couple weeks back, and he said that with Tim Horner, the only reason he's a part of the promotion is because he had ownership of it.
We might find that out later this winter.
Leave it to the – I'm just going to say that. He put it out on Twitter. I would never say that, but let me just leave it at that. All right, let's go to our next segment. We got Jim Cornette. Cornette promo, and he starts in with, you know, he just loves insulting hillbillies. And he says, look at this place. It looks like a green room and an acid flashback. I've never seen such ugly people in my life. So just to recap, this segment is supposed to be where Cornette is about to introduce his tag team. However, as things play out, that's not what's going to happen because him and a local news reporter, this guy's supposed to be a local news reporter, right, Doc?
I think so.
They pull up to a Hooters to meet Cornette's tag team. Cornette says he's rented an entire place out. Now, in fairness, we're Cornette fans, and this might be one of the worst acting jobs Cornette has ever done.
I disagree. I thought this was awesome.
Well, hold on. It's cheesy, but it's still hilarious. I'm not saying it was bad in that way. I'm just saying the acting may have left something to be desired. But it's okay. It is what it is. And you'll tell me what's awesome about it after I complete the recap. Cornette brings the reporter to the table with his tag team, but they're surrounded by Hooter girls, and we don't get a glimpse of them. We go back to the live interview where Cornette is still with Bob Cottle. Cottle says, I didn't see anything but a bunch of girls there. Cornette says, the problem is it's been so long since the women in this part of the country have seen a real man that they didn't know what to do. This is what happens when you bring real superstars and celebrities to this neck of the woods. Here's the thing about this segment. Everyone knew that they, in my eyes, as I look back at this, people tuning into Smoky Mountain that week, everyone would have known or thought that they were finally about to see Cornette's tag team after 2 months. And yet, they pull the wool over everyone's eyes again, and they don't give them a taste of it until, I'm guessing, another week at this time to finally see Cornette's tag team. A common theme here is the slow burn. Doc, your thoughts?
About the whole thing or just the slow burn?
Well, go ahead about the you thought Cornette's acting job. Let me say his acting job in the restaurant to me was kind of hokey, but whatever. I'm not complaining. It was cheesy, but it was still good.
Okay, I had three notes on this. First of all, I thought the whole thing was great because I love outside vignettes.
I do too. I won't disagree with that.
My first question is, can you imagine what the girls look like at a Knoxville's Hooters in 1992?
I'm sure they looked just fine.
I bet they didn't.
You act like Knoxville is the fucking country of country. We're not in the deep woods of Texas. You want to talk about some toothless garanimals for women? There's a lot of them in the deep woods of Texas before you start insulting the good people of Tennessee.
Then, did you notice?
I see I left you speechless on that, but keep going.
Well, I just want to continue on about the good people of Knoxville. Did you notice? Please tell me that you noticed that on the Hooters sign, they misspelled a word. They showed the Hooters sign, and, you know, they're like, you know, daily specials or whatever. They misspelled the word shrimp. It was S-H-I-M-P, shimp.
What's the odds that they did that on purpose?
I don't know, but I laughed and thought, I'm glad I saw that.
They're serving shimp.
But there was also a really – and I think Brian Last mentioned this when he was on the show a few weeks back. But he, Cornette called the chauffeur Hurd, as in making a reference to Jim Hurd having been, I guess, fired in WCW and was now driving him around.
Oh,
So there was some comedy in there that was nuanced and layered and inside, kind of, that I thought was that I thought made the segment go for me. And just, man, all these segments were that hokey back in the day. That's what made them great. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I agree. And here's something I was going to wait to point out till the end of the show. But if you think about it, at this point in the show, we've had two matches, but we've had Cornette's promo. We've had the promo with Primetime Brian Lee, the Fultons, and Tim Horner. We've had the video package, and we had a Bullet Bob Armstrong promo. To me, that's what made a lot of times territory wrestling so good is you would get these promos, but you would also get these off-site vignettes or tapings, and you'd blend them in with some quick matches. And again, these matches aren't five-star matches or big-time names, but it's the whole storytelling and making it episodic with these segments in between that to me makes it good. And I know a lot of times I hear people complain about Raw, and they'll say, "Oh, the match was only 5 minutes, and they didn't do anything else." Well, which is only sometimes because some of the matches go long. But, Raw does these segments in between, but they sell in a lot of commercials at that time, and they're kind of pointless. They don't follow up. Whereas all of these segments, to me, they have a purpose. Like Cornette's thing here, it's still got a purpose. We're still slow burning to the tag team. You know what I mean? So it serves that purpose that we're looking for in pro wrestling. So anything else from that before I move on to the next match?
No, I liked it. You didn't.
You liked it? Oh, no, I liked it. Who said I didn't like
Well.
it? It was fine, man. It was good. I have no complaints on it. We go to the next segment. So that's only one Cornette promo at this point. We go to the next segment, which is Bob Holly against Paul Miller. We've got Paul Miller and Bob Holly, who's a close personal friend of Julia Roberts, as Bob Holly likes to say. We haven't seen Paul Miller since week one when he beat the Black Scorpion.
Yeah.
Am I correct
I
in
think
saying
you're
that? I
right.
don't. I don't remember him since then. And of course, we've got Dutch and Bob Cottle, who start throwing freaking jabs and haymakers at each other again. It's about Cornette once again. As Bob Cottle says, Cornette is telling a lie since he didn't present his tag team this week to everyone. Bob Cottle claims that the preceding video was fake. Jim Cornette probably just paid those Hooters waitresses to pretend that they were excited and that there was actually nobody sitting there.
Man, let me tell Bob Cottle something. If you're going to pay some Hooters waitresses for anything other than the tip, it ain't going to be to pretend they're excited. And if it is to
The tip.
pretend they're excited, it's when you pull down your pants and show them what you got.
The tip, huh? Are we talking about a tip as
Yeah,
in
whatever.
money tip or the tip of. Okay. Paul Miller, back to the match. Paul Miller gets a lot of offense in this rather quick match. It's a little over 3.5 minutes. I like Paul Miller. He seems like he's a decent talent. I don't know if they ever push him or do anything with him, so let's just keep the spoilers down,
Well,
but
you
I'm
see,
semi-impressed.
oh,
What?
I was going to tell you what happens to Paul Miller, but
No, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Bob Holly wins the match with a drop kick off the top rope, which back then a drop kick was a off the top rope was still a finishing move. Now, they'll do it and kick out and maybe go to their finisher a couple more times after that. So, thoughts on this one, Doc?
Did you notice that Bob Holly switched? He was doing the knee drop off the top and he switched to
Yes,
the drop kick
yes.
off. So yeah, he's maybe gotten talked to about dropping that knee from 10 feet or 12 feet up. So
I thought that because I wondered to myself going forward, I wonder if he does the drop kick or the knee. So no spoilers, but yeah, I did notice that and it made me think for a second, like, whoa, what did something happen? And now we come to well, there's a lot more left in this episode, but now is one of the greater segments of this episode, along with Cornette's, and it is a promo with Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy. And Ron Wright starts in on how disheartened he is that there's no checks coming into his mailbox. He's disappointed because none of the fans are getting around to supporting this poor old broke down man, nobody sending me checks in the mail. Did I hear that right, Doc? He's disappointed because he's the heel again, but he's being naive, obviously, and he's upset that no one's sending him checks in the mail for his surgery.
How can a poor old man be a heel?
Dude,
He's in a wheelchair. What's he gonna do?
He's saying he's telling him, I'm so disappointed with these fans. They're not supporting a poor old broke down old man who's been maimed and hurt. And ain't nobody sending me checks at this time in the
Hey,
mail.
Go ahead.
It's just great. No, it's just great.
Well, did you see at the beginning of this, when Caudle was still kind of bringing him out, Dirty White Boy looks at the camera and does the real fast tongue thing like he's fucking dead.
Yes, like he's Gene
Like,
Simmons.
or like he's about to fucking just gobble up some snatch. I was like, really? Huh.
I did
Are
see it. He
we,
did it real
is this family or friendly?
neither at this
And I
point.
don't
It's soft
care because
basketball.
I don't give two shits. I ain't watching this with my kids, so you can do whatever
It's
you
so
want.
right. Okay, so after Ron Wright decides to talk about the checks not coming in the mail, the dirty white boy says, "It makes me sick to my stomach that this legend in this condition, to see this man in this condition." So there's going to be a tournament, and he then says he's going to win. And "Don't you worry, Mr. Wright. I'll get you out of that chair one way or another." And then he says, "If I can't get you out of that chair, I'll buy you the best gold chair money can buy." So, Doc, if he can't get him out of the wheelchair, he's going to make sure he buys him a nice chair, a gold one at
Looks
that.
like Ron Wright picked the right guy, man. He's looking out for his manager. So,
He is. He's looking out for him.
man, did you know what this segment when Ron Wright's talking reminded me of? Because he's asking for money. This was just one inch away from some televangelism preacher on TV. Send me your check, your disability check action. And we always
No spoiler here, but it gets better related to that.
well, and we said. We've often said in our own, talking about wrestling that there's in the South there wasn't a lot of difference between trying to work the marks on Saturday night down at the Civic Coliseum and then working them on Sunday morning. It's like, what'd you do this weekend? Well, I got worked out of my money on Saturday night, then I had to go give on Sunday morning. I had to come back to work Monday just to get paid again,
Just so I could do it all
Yeah, that's
over,
right. So you can go back
go
down
to
and
wrestling
yell
on
at them
Saturday
heels
and
on
church on
Saturday
Sunday.
night and be in church on Sunday morning.
Yeah, Ron Wright's working people, and it gets better. I don't want to say what he does in the next episode, but it gets a lot better. All right, so we go to Morgan and Victory now, the Maulers, against Johnny and Davey Rich. This is the tag team tournament match. So again, remember, Bullet Bob said at the beginning of the episode that it would start next week. Well, guess what? It didn't start next week. So, Doc, first thing, Johnny and Davey Rich come out to "Too Legit to Quit" by MC Hammer. Now, I just want to say something from my point of reference. I remember this song like it was yesterday because this was like the Atlanta Falcons theme song in 1991 and 92 when MC Hammer was traveling with the Falcons and was always a special guest for the hated Jerry Glanville. And it was just hilarious and funny watching two white guys come out dancing to some MC Hammer and seeing the Knoxville, Tennessee get like really, 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 into it as these guys are dancing to "Too Legit to Quit."
Oh, I know too legit to quit. That's what spawned Deion Sanders into writing his record and having that song Must Be the Money. And that motherfucker ended up, I think, on Saturday Night Live singing that shit. Remember that?
Right, exactly. So, and again, like I said, Bullet Bob said the tournament would begin next week, but apparently he may have had a good bottle of Southern whiskey before the announcement. I doubt he did an eight ball like Mullet of Morton always says, and at the Eye of Gibson on Twitter. And I'm just kidding about the whiskey. If Bullet Bob happens to hear this, it's just good Southern wrestling, and we just go with it. So the tournament's starting now. Did you have anything before I get into the match and the commentary?
I had never, again, this is what makes it fun for me going through this, and this happens quite a bit throughout the 4 years, but I'd never heard of the Rich Brothers either.
They were definitely new to me.
Southern wrestlers, I mean, the crowd appeared to know who they were, so I'm assuming they were regional to that, located in that kind of continental Memphis, Alabama, Tennessee kind of area, but they were not. I had not ever come across them. Rip Morgan and Jack Victory, on the other hand, had actually been in world class together before and UWF. Victory ended up in ECW. Victory also, if you're keeping score at home, was one of the guys that used to wave the flag for the sheep herders back in when they were the sheep herders and not licking people's armpits up in Vince's clown show.
Yeah. It's funny because I don't – here's the thing. I look back at some of these guys, and I, as I do some research, and like we'll come across guys in Smoky Mountain that came through Mid-South. And I always, like, I actually had someone ask me, man, how do you not remember that person going through Mid-South? Here's the thing about Mid-South that one must remember. I am born in 1975 at the end of 75. So I'm watching Mid-South in 80 through 81, 2, 3, and 4. You know, as a 5, 6, 7, 8, 9-year-old, I remember the big stuff because that stuff sticks in your mind. But the, you know, the jobbers or the smaller matches that would happen weekly, that stuff flies over my, I just don't have the recollection of it because I was so damn young. Whereas people who watch Mid-South older have a little bit more memory of, you know, Mid-South.
Well, and
about the specifics with the people like, you know, like you mentioned Victory and Morgan. Now I can remember them coming through World Class, but back then I was so young. I'm like, I wouldn't have remembered that unless you said
it. Well, I remember Victory being with John Tatum. And I also barely remember Morgan coming through World Class as well. But they also at one point – I mean, the other thing with the Rip thing is Rip Rogers would do a shot through World Class. Rip Oliver would come through and then Rip Morgan. So when I was a kid, it was hard to keep all the Rips straight. So
all the Rips straight. I got you.
Anyway, let's get to the match here. This is all right, we are kicking off the inaugural match of the tag Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Tournament.
So we get to the match here, and Dutch starts giving us a history lesson at the beginning of the match about Morgan and Victory. Evidently, according to Dutch and, you know, Southern Wrestling, these guys were previously the royal family, members of the royal family, but the queen disowned them because she did not like what they stood for. So Morgan and Victory burnt their robes and burnt their flag. Now, Doc, I don't think what they said here was terrible, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they wouldn't say that today about burning flags on TV and wrestling.
I don't know. Dutch might get on there with Zeb Coulter and do something like that these days. You never know.
There's a possibility, now that you say that, because he was We the People, and he would yell You People over and over again.
And let me say this. Here are four more guys that are making their debut on this episode. So, again, when I say this is my favorite episode, a lot of surprises, a lot of new talent already being infused into the mix, and we got a tournament going for a title. So, I'm just having a really good time talking about this episode with you, Mike.
I can tell because we're going to go longer than normal.
We're calling it in the ring. The fans are digging it, so we just got to keep it going.
I agree.
Hulk Hogan's late. He's in the main, so we got to keep going until he gets here.
Okay. The Riches look good. The crowd is into the match. It's a true old-school tag match where the heels get some heat on one of the babies. It's not a long match to be a tournament match where it's not a squash match of some sort. It's only 5 minutes and 31 seconds. We go to the end of the match when one of the Riches have Victory in a sleeper, but Morgan gets a hold of a boot. He slugs Rich in the upper back neck with a boot. Rich takes a bump. Victory literally falls on him for the 1-2-3, and Morgan and Jack Victory move on to the second round of the tournament. It always seemed like back in the day with Southern Wrestling, a boot was always in the mix in some sort with some shenanigans. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't have the bracket in front of me, but man, I don't know. I'd kind of like to see the Maulers and the Wild Bunch get it on.
I thought that, but you know, the thing is, let's see, the way the bracket is set up, we got the Maulers, Johnny and Davey Ridge, so the Maulers move on, and we got the Fantastics and a Wild Bunch coming up next week. So we'll see what happens, but those are the first two matches in the tournament.
Well, this was a good match to start the tournament. I thought it was a good, solid match, and while I don't want to give it any short talking, we need to move on to something that happens next, because I popped harder on this than anything that I've seen in the first 8 episodes.
All right, so we get Bobby and Jackie Fulton in a promo, and it's Bobby basically introducing their mystery member, for the six-man tag match that's about to come up that we believe will be, or that should be, Jimmy Golden against them, against Jimmy Golden, Ivan Koloff, and Vladimir Koloff. Bobby introduces the partner, and it is none other than the original member of the Fantastics, Tommy Rogers. Yeah, I've always been a big Tommy Rogers
fan.
You used to
carry his bags and be his young boy, didn't you?
I don't know about that. I mean, I was blessed with the opportunity to work with him a couple times, and he was very, very nice to me. Very, very obviously talented person. Put me over. So I've always been a fan of Tommy Rogers. Been in a car with him a time or two, picking him up from the airport whenever he flew down, and he was working on a show in New Orleans with me. Anyway, so Bob Caudle throws it to the ring, but as he is doing so, Jimmy Golden comes out and says, keep in mind, here's the thing. The Fultons, Bobby and Jackie, and Tommy have gone to the ring. So they're at the ring to set the stage. Bob Caudle throws it to the ring, but as he's doing this, Jimmy Golden comes out and says, oh, I just got a phone call, just so you know, from my two tag partners, Ivan and Vladimir.
Hold on. He said Ivan and Nikita first.
Oh, he did. He slipped. He did. Well, Rogers did too.
Or somebody.
Rogers slipped.
So I don't know.
No. It was Rogers.
Okay. So
Rogers
I just
slipped.
Had somebody. I said Nikita. Oops. So okay.
Yeah,
maybe
Rogers.
So.
It was Tommy. Tommy Rogers slipped. So going back to it, Jimmy Golden says he just got a phone call from Ivan and Vladimir, and he says literally, their two wives are having babies right now. I don't guess there's going to be a match.
The best moment in the first 2 months of Smoky Mountain. Because he just looked at it like you know, when you kind of do your hands.
Hey, man, what do you want me to do?
Shrug your shoulders and go, man, I don't know what to tell you, but they ain't here. They're having babies.
He's like throws his hands up in there, brother. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, you know, it was like somebody tells you that, you know, a bill collector calls you, man, you owe me $500. You're due right now. I got $5. That's all I can put on it, bro. I mean, that's what he was kind of like.
And he had this look. He's wearing this powder baby blue track jacket. And I would almost bet you that in the pocket of his pants, he had a Miller Lite, can of Miller Lite. And as soon as he got done cutting it, he pulled it out and took a swig off of it. In fact, I took a note that said, I bet Jimmy Golden, when he's not in the ring, has a can of light beer within 5 feet of him at all times.
I never met Jimmy Golden, but I can.
And I don't say that as a mean thing. I kind of look up to him.
It's a compliment.
So and so that was just, I mean, I went back and rewatched that several times just because the way he delivers it and how absurd it is and just how ridiculous. And he's like, whatever. I don't know, man. I ain't a Koloff. But that's not the end of it. So keep us going here because this it keeps going and it's pretty awesome. I mean, Tommy Rogers gets back involved.
So, again, let's recap. Jimmy Golden is at the desk with Bob Caudle. The Fultons are still in the ring. Rogers, who I can honestly tell you, as a worker, whenever you – Tommy was a very – he was a small guy, but he was real intense. And he runs over to the desk and says, hey, wait, hold on. I just traveled 1,000 miles, and you mean to tell me we're not going to have a match? And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. And then, like we always say with wrestling and promos with guys with beef, Tommy Rogers is like, fuck this shit. I'm about to whoop your ass. And he just starts slugging.
And here's
he ain't
the thing.
He's not waiting for Golden to jaw back at him. He's just like, I just traveled 1,000 miles. You telling me we're not having a match? Fuck you. Here's this five. Here's my fist. Pop.
And here's the thing. How tall was Tommy Rogers?
Tommy... You know I'm 5'9". He was shorter than me, dude.
Okay, so Jimmy Golden is a legit 6'5".
Yes, I agree. Tommy was probably about 5'7½", 5'8".
He was reaching up there and getting him some, though. I tell you that.
Yeah, Tommy was intense, man. That was one thing about him. He could he was a hell of a talent. He was real intense. So again, Tommy Rogers says, "Man, screw this," and starts wailing. Rogers and Golden fight to the ring, and then out runs the Wild Bunch, which was a hell of a surprise because I didn't expect that at this point, especially after finding out that the Koloffs' wives were both giving birth at the same time. What's the odds on that shit? But whatever. That's great Southern wrestling. And then so the Wild Bunch run out. As you know, they're going to be a part of the tag tournament, but this is not a tag tournament match.
I have a question here.
Yeah.
This is something that, I don't know, we may want to ask Cornette, because I don't know, so I'm not trying to spoil anything here, and I'm not trying to give anything away, because the Koloffs are in the tag tournament, and I will tell you that they actually wrestle their tag tournament match, but I just wonder if there's some ongoing issue with them here, because, you know, Vladimir was not there earlier, and they brought Jimmy Golden in, and that was weird, because he was back on official business, and now they're not here tonight. I'm wondering if they were double booked, or if Cornette's having some kind of problem with them. You know, I just wonder if there's more to the story here than we're seeing on TV, and they're just kind of, I mean, I got no problem with the Wild Bunch coming out and getting involved, because this is a great match, but just I wonder what's going on here.
If there was an issue, let me say this. They played this perfect, because what they did was they send them out, and they did it well, because what they did was, remember, we got a tag tournament match where it's going to be the Fantastics and a Wild Bunch coming up.
So they preview it.
Right. And well, what they did was they made it kind of a personal issue, because for no other reason. I mean, there's no logical reason why the Wild Bunch would come out and just attack the Fultons at this point, other than, you know, they're supporting their fellow heel. But at the same time, to me, they made it kind of more personal with the match that actually then takes place in the tag tournament.
So we haven't talked about that. If you had to guess, what do you think? Is it an issue with the Koloffs in real life, and they're making chicken salad out of chicken shit, or this is Koloffs, you sit out while we build up the Wild Bunch, just from what you know about Terry?
Having no knowledge of it whatsoever, I'm going to lean towards let's build up the Wild Bunch.
Okay.
Even though what we're about to see, I don't know if it's really building them up in this next match, but I don't think there's an issue with the Koloffs. But, you know, I may be wrong. I mean, I have no knowledge of that, and Cornette may tell us otherwise. So, again, we got a melee going here, so we go to the match, which is the Fantastics with Fulton and the Fultons and Tommy Rogers against Jimmy Golden, Black, and Joel Deaton. The match is a little over 7 minutes. It's on now. I mean, they're fighting from the get-go. They finally get things under order for it to be a traditional six-man match. Deaton and Billy Black, they're just some big dudes that are there for a fight, but at the same time, they can do a lot of flips and shit, too. Of course, Bob Caudle and Dutch do some verbal sparring. Dutch says at one point, Bob Caudle, I'm going to use your term, the Fantastics better be quick. So he's playing around with Bob at this point. These guys just really lay it in during this match. The match ends with Bobby Fulton pinning Jimmy Golden. So the Fantastics get the win, but all hell breaks loose with the bell ringing at the end for some help to come into the ring. I mean, you know how it is in the old territory days. The bell would ring, you know, the announcer Caudle is screaming and yelling, hey, we need some help out here, all that good stuff. So anyway, that's kind of how it ends.
Meat and potatoes, good tag, six-man tag, way more heat on it than anything you see on Monday or Tuesday nights when they throw these things together. My note here was things are starting to pick up in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah, and to me, like, with the way this match went down with the Fantastics, with Fulton and Rogers, and then the, you know, I was about to say Koloffs, but Jimmy Golden and the Wild Bunch, again, it leads into, you know, next week we got the Fantastics and the Wild Bunch going at it in the tag tournament. So maybe it's, you know, it's trying to create a personal issue where they don't like each other.
I'm ready for that. Let's just close this episode down and talk about that match.
Well, we got a couple more things.
Okay.
We got a promo, and if you haven't noticed, they're seriously building up this card in Virginia throughout this episode. They have coming up, because it's another promo with Jimmy Golden about the match with him and Landell against Jackie Fulton and Bobby Fulton.
Now hold on.
Yeah.
What you talk about the this is a part of the bygone era, the art of a bygone era. What is Jimmy Golden doing right here? He's trying to talk him into the building.
Yeah, nobody talks anybody into the building.
Man, and I, you know, just subtle differences between the sport today and then. The other thing I noticed is at the beginning, because I didn't want to cut you off once you get going on this, is
okay,
he's wearing the same blue track jacket that he was wearing a minute ago when he came out and said that the wives are having babies now. So I don't know if that's his only jacket or if they were just cutting these in succession or what, but.
You know they cut them. You know he cut them all at one time.
I'm just saying. I'm here to notice everything.
I understand that. Jimmy, well, back to the promo. Jimmy is tired of the Fantastics running their mouths. They're going to shut them up, and that's that. Bob Caudle then turns to Dutch, who appears on camera rather quickly. Quick note, I noticed that Smoky Mountain Wrestling does this with their promos. They'll be interviewing a guy like they were with Golden just now, and as he wraps up, Bob Caudle does a 180 turn, and Dutch walks onto the screen. Dutch talks about the grudge match up with Primetime Brian Lee up in Virginia, and Dutch says to Caudle, "Let me ask you something. Is that your real hair?" Which just I didn't really get that. He just was kind of like messing with him. First of all, Dutch says, "I don't like those hills of West Virginia. You don't have plumbing. You all around looking like a bunch of idiots." And Primetime Brian Lee, if you've ever seen him, looks like a hunchback of Notre Dame. It ain't nothing for me to beat a man.
Actually, he called him the humpback of Notre Dame,
Oh, the
I
humpback.
believe.
I'm sorry. Dutch continues with, "I'm going to beat your egg-sucking low-life carcass. You're going to leave a beaten man come April in Virginia." Now, he said West Virginia at one point. He's talking about the hills.
Yeah.
So I know West Virginia and Virginia are very close to each other on border. They border each other, but he just said that. So anyway, two things. You said it here. Jimmy Golden and, of course, Dutch. Dutch, while Primetime Brian Lee is not in his presence, is talking big game. He's talking big, ain't he? Any more thoughts on that before I move to the last promo of
No.
this week? All right. Last segment of this week's episode is a promo with Bullet Bob Armstrong. He says, "Remember the Koloffs, remember I should say this. Remember the Koloffs didn't show up for their six-man tag team match just now." So Bob Armstrong is imposing a fine of $500, and they are not allowed to compete in the ring until they pay the fine. Now, here's the thing. They're supposed to be in this tag tournament. So I don't know what happens, but I'm just saying, Bob Armstrong has put this stipulation out there.
Bob Armstrong should have made some kind of joke about how he didn't know what the conversion rate to rubles was on that.
Okay, that one was very, very lame, but whatever. Before we give out disability checks, Doc, I want to tell all of our listeners who are listening to this show, please, please check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. You can get there one of two ways, but the way to get there via our website is go to mikemills.podbean.com, and at the very top there will be a link to our Pro Wrestling Tees store. Click it; it'll take you there. We have our Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and it's spelled Rassling. That's wrestling. On the shirt, so it's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. You can pick up your very own there from our Pro Wrestling Tee store. You can also check out our regular Booking the Territory Pro Wrestling Podcast T-shirts that we do each and every week on the show. If you're a first-time listener, subscribe to us however you get your podcast, whether it's iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, TuneIn Radio, and we would greatly appreciate a five-star review related to our Smoky Mountain Wrestling podcast that we do each and every week. We are on Twitter at BTT underscore podcast. I'm at Mike504 Saints. Doc is too much of an idiot to know how to work Twitter. You can help support the show in a number of ways, not only with our Pro Wrestling Tees store, but you can go to our Amazon referral link. Again, that's at mikemills.podbean.com. Just click the Amazon referral link at the very top of that page. And then, if you're feeling charitable, just, like what we do and want to help support the show because it does take production costs to do so, you can also donate to us by clicking the PayPal donation link in the show notes below, in the show description. And we would greatly appreciate that. And then, Doc, so how many disability checks are we giving
Well,
out this week?
let's just quickly recap. I mean, we had four, three new tag teams debut today. Awesome for me, awesome vignette with Cornette going to the Hooters. Another awesome promo with Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy. In your opinion, was this the best show that we've seen so far?
All around, I don't. It's up there. I don't want to say the best, but it's up there
Okay, well,
because I think of the episodes where Ron Wright, that episode where Bullet Bob rolls him off and Ron Wright's voice is cracking and he's out going, "I can't believe you, Bob Armstrong. You want to treat a crippled old maimed old man like me this way." I really like that one. So it's right up there with that one.
Okay, well, I think it's my favorite so far, and I'm going to give it 6.75 disability checks.
That's not as many as I thought you'd give it.
Well, I know what's coming. I don't want to spoil it, but I know what's coming in the coming year, so I gotta have somewhere to go with this. I can't give it a 10 on the first week because I know what's happening in 93 and 94 in this promotion.
I got to give it seven checks. Very good show. Very good episode. Golden. Jimmy Golden, literally, with the comment he made about Vladimir and Ivan's wives, just happened to both be giving birth at the same time.
That was absolutely inspirational.
Jesus. I don't know if you could write a script better than that. And then, of course, the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright promo was money as well. Tim Horner with his Zubaz in terrible TCB promo, take care of business, as he said. Yeah, so very, 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 very good episode. And that's about it. That's going to close out this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast Review Show, from which was episode 8 from March the 21st of 1992. I really, really enjoyed this one, and we got many more to come. So, you know what? Subscribe to us, like I said. Hopefully, you'll come along and continue the journey with us. And we appreciate you tuning in to this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. And you know what we always say when we get out of here, book it.
Fans, this week marks the beginning of our Smoky Mountain Tag Team Tournament. And here to tell us all about that tournament is our Smoky Mountain Commissioner, Bob Armstrong. Bob?
You know, I'm really proud. Thank you very much. I'm really proud today because it is the start of our tournament for the Smoky Mountain Tag Team Championships. And they're going to be held right here on TV, Bob. Now, we're going to have eliminations each and every week. And the last two teams involved in this tournament will meet somewhere in an arena, maybe close to you, somewhere in the Smoky Mountain area. We'll tell you that at a later date. Now, right now, I want to give you the names of the teams that are already entered in this tournament. The first team is Rip Morgan and Jack Victory, the Maulers. Johnny and Davey Rich, the Rich Cousins. The Fantastics. Joel Deaton and Billy Black, the Wild Bunch. Ivan and Vladimir Koloff, the Russian Connection. Nitro, Danny Davis, and Jumpin' Joey Maggs. Bart and Brad, the Batten Twins. And Jim Cornette's surprise team. Now, that ought to be a heck of a tournament. There you see the first round pairings. And what I'm trying to get to the bottom of is exactly who is Jim Cornette's surprise team. And I mean to find that out, and Bob, there's no time like the present. Thank you very much.
All right, Bob, and thank you. And fans, that's it about our Smoky Mountain Tag Team Tournament. Gets underway a little later during this hour.
By the way, I think that's Mr. Cornette's personal business.
By the way, where is Styles?
Who?
Styles.
Carl Styles?
Yeah.
I don't want to talk about it.
Why not, Dutch? Where is he?
I don't want to talk about it. It's a long story.
Dutch, come on. Where is Styles?
Carl Styles, where is he? Well... Yeah. Do you understand English? I said I don't want to talk about it.
Oh, let's look at that Hector Guerrero. That guy can put moves on you, moves you've never seen before. When he's not on the road wrestling, come on, Dutch, tell me, where is Styles? Let me tell you first about Hector. When he's involved with coaching amateur wrestling, physical education, he loves working with kids. He's just an all-around great guy. And I don't put Styles in that category, but where the heck is he?
Bob Armstrong in the commissioner's office says that he can't come out here anymore. Now, what I'm going to do, I don't know what the reasoning is, I don't know, but I'm trying to get it straightened out, and he'll be back next week.
That was hard.
Now, are you happy now?
I'm happy now.
I wish that Hector Guerrero could put those stinking feet in my face one time. I'd pull his leg off and beat him over the head with it.
Dutch, that would take some doing.
Well, it takes some doing for some guys, but it wouldn't take a lot of doing for me. Now, what would you call that right
The
there?
Way he's got those legs twisted right around that neck, he was getting a lot of good pressure on that.
Keith Hart made
tell
a
you
real
one
good
thing,
move right
if
there.
If he ever got you in that jalapeno roll, it would be curtains for Dutch Mantell.
Oh, no, not for me. I'd take some Rolaids and get right out of that deal.
Fans, we'll be back to the action of Smoky Mountain Wrestling here on Oak Hill Channel 4 in just a moment. First, we want to tell all of our wrestling fans around Oakwood, Virginia, at the Garden High School on Saturday, April 4th at 7:30, an outstanding card of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The big main event, a grudge match, primetime. Brian Lee is going to get it on against Dirty Dutch Mantell. Brian?
Bob, the name says it all, grudge match. Dirty Dutch Mantell, I've been this close every time I've been around you. But in Oakwood, Virginia, I will catch up with you. And when I put that cancellation on you, I can guarantee you it's going to be lights out, one, two, three. And all you wrestling fans, get ready to see a fight in Oakwood.
All right, fans, in tag team action, it's going to be the Fantastics against Nature Boy Buddy Landale and Jimmy Golden.
You know, we're so excited about coming to Oakwood, Virginia. You know, we're going to get out there. We're going to do the best we can. When we look out, we want to see all those seats filled because we're going to shake hands with all the great fans, hug all those pretty young ladies because with your support, we're going to be flying high.
All right, Bobby Fulton.
You know, a lot of times people overlook me because of my size, but one place I won't be overlooked, that's right here on Oak Hill Channel 4 with Smoky Mountain Wrestling and right there at the Garden High School, Saturday night, April the 4th. Me and my brother were fired up and excited about it like I know White Lightning Tim Horner is, and Brian Lee's going to get his opportunity to get a little revenge on Dirty Dutch Mantel. But Nature Boy Buddy Landell and Jimmy Golden, Bob, you know he's caused some problems for us here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Well, he's went out and got the biggest mouth in wrestling. That's Nature Boy Buddy Landell to take on the Fantastics. Well, hey, don't sell us short, boys, because when we come in there, we're going to come there with four barrels loaded. You better be ready.
Special challenge match fans, White Lightning Tim Horner against Dirty White Boy, and Mr. Ron Wright's going to be in the corner.
You know, the cards and letters been coming in from Virginia for a long time wanting Smoky Mountain Wrestling to come there. Well, we're finally coming. Garden High School, we're going to blow the lid off that thing when Smoky Mountain Wrestling comes to town. And Dirty White Boy, don't think for 1 minute you're going to have a cakewalk, because I'm coming in there for one thing, and that's to TCB, take care of business. You know, you think you're a little cocky, and you've been coming in running roughshod everybody since you got a manager sitting in your corner. Well, I tell you what, I'll keep my eye on him, and for sure, I'll keep my eye on you in Oakwood.
All right, fans, this is something we've been waiting for. Jim Cornette, where's your tag team?
Look at this place. It looks like the green room in an acid flashback. I've never seen such ugly people in my life. I had a little problem with it. Well, I tell you what, just show this videotape. I want the people to see the tape, and then you'll understand what I'm talking about. I had a little problem.
Hello, wrestling fans. I'm Phil Rainey, and we're with Smoky Mountain Wrestling, and we have our cameras here in Knoxville, Tennessee, where Jim Cornette has promised to you wrestling fans and to the world his tag team.
Now, how does it feel, Randy, first of all, to be in the lap of luxury like this, to be in this opulence, to be in these surroundings? You're not used to this stuff.
I'm really impressed.
You drive an Opel Kadett, don't you? Well, what I'm here today to do is let you in on a big moment in history. You are fixing to meet up with the greatest tag team in the universe. I am taking you to their exclusive training location. They are out right now working on strategy, training, working out, and we're going to be there in just a few minutes, and you are going to see the next Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champions. As a matter of fact, hey, we're coming up on the training location now. Hey, isn't that great? Look at that.
Hooters, that's not a training location.
Hey, these guys do their best work there. Hey, driver, Herd, pull over to the side. Boy, this guy's a lousy driver. Okay, Rainey, now listen up. You're going to meet the greatest tag team in the universe today. I've gone to a lot of trouble, a lot of expense to make sure we have a nice, quiet little interview. I've rented the whole place out so we won't be disturbed. So what I want you to do is watch your table manners. Don't order anything too expensive, have a nice, quiet little interview if you won't interrupt us.
All right.
Now let's get on over here and find out where...
The party's already started, guys. Come on in.
Party?
Party? I didn't ask for any party. I just wanted a nice, quiet interview.
I can't believe we're already here.
What the heck?
They're here.
Randy, let's get to the bottom of this. Have you spilled the beans?
You brought me out here for a quiet interview.
You spilled the beans. I can't believe it.
There's no way. Cornette, you're trying to get... I can't see anybody. There's no way in the world I'm going to risk my life going in that melee. We'll have to do this interview some other time. I am not going to get involved in all of that.
I didn't see anything but a bunch of girls there.
You see, the problem is that it's been so long since the women in this part of the country have seen a real man. Their hormones went south. They didn't know what to do. That is the problem when bringing a couple of superstars like this out in a public place. So next week, I'm going to try it again, but this time, I'm going to make it a little more private. I got a special location all picked out, and that way, these hillbillies won't be able to yell and scream all their derogatory remarks, and at the same time, all these women will not be able to harass us anymore. Next week, I'll have a tape out here of my tag team.
All right, fans, we'll try it again next week, and we'll be back right after we take this time out.
Let's go right now to Bob Connell standing by with a Dirty White Boy and my good friend, Mr. Ron Wright.
All right, and fans, here we are with Mr. Ron Wright and, of course, his boy, the Dirty White Boy. What about it, Mr. Wright?
I appreciate it. I'm kind of down disheartened because, you know, none of these fans around here seem to be getting behind this poor old broke-down man. The checks are not coming in the mail. I'm kind of disappointed and hurt. I want these people to start getting out and getting it in to me.
All right, you just calm down, Ron. Don't you worry about a thing. I can't believe it. Makes me sick. Sick to my stomach to see this legend sitting in this chair. Well, what, Ron, you don't worry about it, because later on there is going to be a tournament, and I'll go through every one of them, and I will get you out of this chair one way or another. If I can't get you out of the chair and the doctors can't get you out of this chair, I'll buy you the best gold chair there is, baby.
All right, fans, the moment we've been waiting for, our big six-man bout's about to begin. We're going to find out who the Fantastic's mystery partner is.
Well, I want to tell you, Bob, we're back from Japan, that's right, and we're ready for the Koloffs and Golden. We've got somebody here tonight, right here, that's going to take care of them. We've got that six-man match. We're back from Japan, and we're ready, even though we got fined. We've got our partner, and here he is. Come on out here.
All right,
brother. It's good to be back here in Knoxville. When I got the call from Bobby Fulton, I was down there working in my business, and he gave me the call and told me about what Nikita, Ivan and Vladimir and Jimmy Golden did to Bobby and Jackie. And I said, brother, I'll be right there. And tonight it's going to happen. Get ready, guys. We're coming to the ring, and it's not going to be a wrestling match. It's going to be for sweet revenge.
That's right, man.
All right, fans, and there they go to the ring, the Fantastics. So let's go to the ring.
Sorry to say, I just got a phone call from my two partners, the Koloffs. Both of them wives is having a baby right now. They can't be here. No. I don't guess it's going to be no match.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
What do you mean? That's not me. Talk to them about it.
Wait a minute.
Wait a minute, Mr. Carter. You mean I come 1,000 miles and I'm not going to be able to wrestle somebody? Is that what you're saying?
Wrestle nobody, no.
Hey, and they get it on right here, fans. Jimmy Golden, they're going to take him right to the ring. And into the ring he goes. Hey, Dutch, this is not the match we thought we was going to have, but we're going to have a match. Here comes the Wild Bunch.
We got a six-man going on now, friends.
Fans, we'll be back to the action of Smoky Mountain Wrestling on Oak Hill Channel 4, the heart of West Virginia, in just a moment. First, we want to tell you about the outstanding card of wrestling you'll be seeing at the Garden High School in Oakwood, Virginia, on Saturday, April 4th at 7:30. Now, the big main event, primetime Brian Lee against Dirty Dutch Mantell. We'll talk to Dutch in just a moment. But in tag team action, the Fantastics against Nature Boy Buddy Landell and this man right here, Jimmy Golden. Jimmy?
I'm going to tell you, I've heard these Fantastics stand out here and run their mouth about how good they are. Well, boys, you're in for a real surprise. Buddy Landell and myself are going to step in the ring with you two punks. We're going to give you a real wrestling lesson up there in Virginia, West Virginia, wherever it's at up there in them hills. It don't make no difference to us, boys, because me and Landell's got us quite a reputation around these here parts. And when we get through with you boys, you're going to have to agree with it.
All right, and Dirty Dutch Mantell, Dutch. Hey, this is going to be a big main event. It's going to be a grudge match. And primetime Brian Lee, he's going to be prime.
Let me ask you something. Is that your real hair, or does it just lay
part
that
of it,
way? Well,
part
first of
it.
All, let me talk about those hills of West Virginia and Virginia. I don't like none of it up there, because you don't have indoor plumbing, for one thing. You all run around, you look like the darlings on the Andy Griffith Show, and you're all walking around looking like a bunch of idiots, which you are, and I don't have to tell you. But Brian Lee, for you people who haven't seen Brian Lee up close, you know, he looks a lot better on television than he does in person. When you see him in person, he looks a little bit like the humpback of Notre Dame. But I'm going to tell you, people who've never seen him up close, you're going to see him twice in Oakwood. You're going to see him for the first and last time. Now, I'm not going to chase you, Lee, all around that building, all down the street to get you back into the ring. So quit running. Come in there and be a man. It ain't nothing to me to whoop a man. It ain't nothing to me. I whoop one before I get up in the morning, before I go to bed at night, because that's my job, to beat people up. So, Brian Lee, bring your ugly-looking, egg-sucking, low-life carcass down to that ring, and you're going to leave a beaten man in Oakwood, Virginia. Mark my words.
That's Saturday, April 4th, fans. See you then.
The Koloffs have run out on their match with the Fantastics. They're going to be fined $500, and they won't wrestle in this tag team tournament until they pay that $500, Bob.
All right, fans, and that's the ruling from Commissioner Bob Armstrong. That's going to wrap it up for this week. We'll see you next week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Don't forget our big main event next week, the Fantastics against the Wild Bunch. That and more action next week, fans, on Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We'll see you then. We'll be right back.